James 3, chapter 10, or verse chapter 3, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, my brother. These things ought not so to be. Read that with me. Say it with me this morning. Let's say it together. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, my brother. These things ought not so to be. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, I come thanking you, Father, this morning for the opportunity to stand up here, Lord, and preach. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you know that as the message goes out, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would open up hearts, that you would open up minds, and that, Lord, that, you know what, that Father, that people would understand what's trying to get gotten across here this morning. I praise you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, and God bless us. God bless us, Lord, and continue to bless us.
But as I was thinking down through the week, have you ever thought, now this is going to be a little off topic just for a minute here, but have you ever thought how powerful a pharmacist is in your life? Have you ever thought about that just for a minute? This goes to tell you a little bit about your preacher. I was up to Walmart on South Side, and whenever you go to the pharmacy at Walmart on South Side, up beside of it, when you walk up there, they have these different languages there. And they say, have you ever seen that? Has anybody ever seen that when you go up there? Well, this tells you a little bit about your preacher. One of the pharmacists come up there. I said, can you tell me what it is in that language there? just goofing with them a little bit there, you know. And they said, and of course, they just kind of give me that grin and said, well, we could get somebody on the phone to do it if we had to. But my point being is, have you ever thought how powerful a pharmacist is in your life? A friend of mine from work, his daughter graduated from school from down Charleston at a pharmaceutical school down there that he went down there to, which she went down there to. 2 years of undergraduate classes, then 4 years of academics in pharmacy. That's what she, you know, that's what she took. And I told him, man, that's a lot of years. I said, just thinking, I said, man, that's a lot of years to be going to college. And he looked at me and said, would you want a novice filling your pills? I thought about it for a minute. I said, yeah, I agree. I wouldn't want some novice filling my pills. If you think about it, they're the ones who put medication into your bottles that you take. Some of you may take medication every day like I do. You may take medication every day, but they're the ones that put it in there. And that medication can either poison you or maybe it could even kill you. Absolutely. And they can put something in there that can heal you, or they can put something in there that can make you better. They have that kind of power over your life, whether you know it or not. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this pharmacist. And they're just not randomly picking medicine out of that, are they, to give you. They're just saying, well, I think this will work, or I think that will work, or I think this. They don't do that. Absolutely not. Their control is built into the systems. The doctor will send the prescription in, and the pharmacist will look at it and see if anything counteracts with any medicine you're working. They don't put two different types of medicine in the same bottle. I've never seen one of them do that before. You might think that a pharmacist has a lot of power, and they do, if you really, truly think about it. But that's the kind of power that our words have over people's lives. I want you to understand it. You may not think that they do. You may not think that the words that you say have power over people's lives. But absolutely, they do. My point is that it really is the same. It's in the same paradigm as that. It really is, if you think about it. When it comes to how we use our words, we have power, good and bad. Sometimes, and this sometimes, and you know this, you've seen this, there can be good and bad in the same package. Absolutely. There can be good and bad come out of it. Our scripture reading this morning in the Bible is telling, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. With each word that comes out of our mouths, it's either a blessing or a cursing to somebody. Absolutely, it is. It is either a blessing or a cursing to whoever you're saying them to. As the last part of the verse says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Whether we know it or not, how often We consider the words that you say on an average day. Has anybody ever? I looked it up. I went and looked, and I just said, I just Googled it. You know how you do it. And said, how many words does the average person speak per day? The average working man will say 2,000 to 3,000 words a day. Most of them are mostly grunts. I understand that. The average working female, 10 to 20,000 words a day. Who's a communicator, buddies? Who's a communicator? I mean, just think about that for a minute. Out of all those words that I just said that we speak, guess how many of them are actually of value? 500 to 700 of those words. Think about that for just a minute. Think about that. In other words, the majority of what we say is pretty much meaningless if you really break it down. And if we choose, we can choose words that are toxic and are lethal, and they can be just as meaningless. Amen? When we choose words that are life-giving, or we can choose those kind of words that are life-giving and are affirming to people in their lives. Did you ever stop and think again how powerful what you talk to people about is, especially us as Christians? Let me give you an example out of thousands just like it. I've told this story here before, but this is a true story. Most of you who are in my age range remember the Carpenters, Karen and Richard Carpenter. You remember them. Maybe what some of you don't realize is that she died at age 32 of anorexia. She died at age 32 of anorexia. Some of the things that started her down that path were words. What maybe some of you don't realize was that at one time, there was a newspaper article that came out about her after her and her brother had done a concert. The next day, they had taken a picture of her, and in the article, it said that there was this chubby little girl. This chubby girl. And she read that. And it started her down that path. Her mother would always downgrade her with words. As a matter of fact, one time when they come out of a session where she was trying, anorexia wasn't that big back in the 70s. We never heard of it that much. It was there, but you never heard of it. One time when she came out of one of those meetings with a psychiatrist, the psychiatrist just wanted her mother to hug her. And her mother said, we just don't do things like that in this family. And a few months later, that's whenever she died. She ended up getting married, and her husband said, I don't want to be with a bag of bones. I'm here to tell you this morning, words hurt. They hurt. I tell you, she ended up dying of heart failure from anorexia. It's what she ended up dying from. Words were powerful in her life. Words mattered in her life before anybody could even understand this whole anorexic thing. Words mattered, and they matter still to this day. Have you ever considered how powerful the words are that you use almost all the time? How about words like, well, that's stupid out of you. I don't care really what you think. Never mind, it wouldn't matter anyway if I told you. Or that was a dumb thing to say. You say that to a kid, words matter. Sometimes even to adult they matter. Listen, that social media today allows all manner of hateful speech. Putting words out there, and like I've said this before, you can say whatever you want to say without ever putting a name behind it. Young girls, ages 10 to 14 today, the suicide rate's up 13%. Let that sink in for a little bit, guys. Young girls today, ages 10 to 14, the suicide rate is up 13%. And you know the main cause of it is? It's bullying. Because they're not able to handle and process what people are saying out there. Sometimes adults can't even process it. The Bible tells us that words matter. The God that we serve tells us that words matter. And he even showed us that words matter. If you go to Genesis, the first chapter, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let there be water. And God said, let there be the lights, the sun and the moon. And God said, let the water bring forth abundantly. And God said, let the earth bring forth every living creature. And God said, let us make man in his own image. Did he not? That's exactly what God said. Did God have to speak it into existence? No. The God that I serve could have just waved his hands over it and it could have come instantaneously. But he put such a premium on words to show us. It said that God said. God said, let us make man our own image. God said, behold, I've given you every herb and bearing seed. Could God not have done it without saying words? Yes, he could have. But he said in his words, because, listen, that's why words matter. That gives a lot of authority. God gave a lot of authority to words. I got to try to stay behind this, and this is so hard. If you're thinking, well, but that was just God saying that over in Genesis. You're thinking that? Well, that's just God. Well, turn with me to Proverbs 18:21. This is how powerful words are for us. Proverbs 18:21 tells us how powerful our words are. When you get there, say amen. Death and life are in the power of what? The tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall do what? Eat the fruit thereof. Our words matter. Solomon is saying how powerful that our words were. Solomon is saying that about us as human beings, as us that work and that go out here and go out amongst this world and have families and all that we do. Solomon is telling us how powerful that our words are. That's why I got to think this morning. I want to preach this morning about the power of your words. The power of them. Folks, there are certain things in our lives today that we can't control. I understand that. You should understand, we can't control the weather. There are certain things out there that we can't control. You can't control what's going on with this virus out here per se so much. Listen, can I tell you a little something and to go along with this? That virus, COVID-19, is part of a family of viruses. It's called Corona Verde is what it's called. Coronaviridae. It's part of that family. You can look it up just like I can. You know who else is in that family? There's SARS, there's MERS, and there's a common cold. It's all in the family of that virus. And I'm not standing up here telling you that all this COVID is just like a common cold. No. What I'm telling you is there's some things we can't control. We can't do it. Folks, I want to believe Christians should be able to control our words, though. Of all the things out there that we have no control over Grace, we should be able to control our words. But the tongue can no man. James 3:8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We can't control our tongue by ourselves. I can't control it by myself. It's only by the grace of God and getting my nose in his word that I'm able to try to even control, try to control what comes out of my mouth. Let that sink in. No man or no woman on their own, no human being can tame their own tongue. Matthew 12. For out of the abundance of the heart, the what speaks? The mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, man, wow, this is something. They shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Remember I told you that sometimes we speak only about 500 or 700 words that are relevant during the day, and the rest of it's maybe gibberish? For by thy words, now get this, I want everybody to understand this in verse 37 of Matthew 12. For by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be what? Condemned. It's going to be part of the judgment one of these days. Have you got that? By our words, we're going to either be justified, or by our words, we're going to be condemned. The world today is so troubled today. There's so much anxiety, there's so much worry, so much pain, so much hostility. And if we would sit down and assess what is going on, there's a lot of words flying around. Amen? There's a lot of words flying around out there today. We would see that what is causing a lot of us is going on is the words that's being spewed. Words are either spoken, texted or Twittered or Facebook or written down. Words that are toxic, words that are mean, words that are divisive, hateful, destructive. There are words that, at the very least, are discouraging. And it is flying back and forth like we can't believe. I see it, and I know you see it. Words that once someone hits the sin button are never coming back, Greg. They're never coming back. Yelling and screaming. You go out and go to YouTube videos out there and look at the yelling and screaming between two points of view. Words flying. And you don't have to look very far to find it. Words matter. Words matter, absolutely. Matthew 12, 35, Jesus tells us, a good man, look, again, Jesus put it there, is putting an incredible premium on words, whenever he said that. And yet Christians, I hear Christians sometimes say this and justify their stance and somebody else's stance. Well, that person just doesn't have a filter. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell for a Christian. Amen? That person needs a Holy Ghost filter upon their lives. Jesus right here putting it, he said, Christians, we are called, we do. It is called the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:16. Then I say, walk in the Spirit. This is God's word. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not do what? And you shall not run, you shall not mouth, you shall... No, what does it say? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what it's saying. Matthew 12, 30, should concern, Matthew 12, 37 should concern every Christian in this building here this morning and everybody that listens to this sermon out there. It should concern everyone. By your words, you're either going to be acquitted, or by your words, you're going to be condemned. Plain and simple. There's a correlation between our words you speak and what's in your heart. A good man or a good woman out of the good treasures of their heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man or an evil woman, I'm adding the woman in there, out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. We were going to be judged one day, not only by our thoughts and our actions and by a lot of other different things, but more importantly, we're going to be judged by the words that we just flippantly throw out there sometimes. Words are powerful, and we should get control of them, absolutely. Not only with strangers or coworkers or neighbors, but this is the thing that I found the most. A lot of people are just willing to go and just tear into their own families. Oh, they wouldn't do that to a stranger. They wouldn't do that to a neighbor. But they'll rip into their spouse. They'll rip into their children. Christians ought not to be. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, Matthew 12, 30, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Christians, if you're in your house and you're tearing each other apart with words, your house is not standing. It's slowly coming down. Words destroyed many of home. I'm a pastor. I've listened to it down through the years. Words destroy homes. Words destroyed many churches. James 3, 5, and 6. The tongue is a small part of the body. And I'm reading the NIV version of this. But it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and in itself set on fire by hell. Out of every relationship tool that we have, whether it's shaking hands, which I know we can't do now, but we do fist bump, don't we? Out of all of those relationship things we do, whether it's shaking hands or hugging, high-fiving, whatever it may be, do you realize one of the greatest things that we can do is our words are the most powerful of all those? I could shake Greg's hand, call him a dirty no-account, blah, 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 and just still shake his hand. So what's going to mean more to Greg? You see what I'm saying? Our words matter. You know what? Our words are the most revealing thing about each and every one of us. Will you agree with me on that? It's no wonder Jesus said, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, or by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Because he knew that's going to, well, what comes out of here is going to reveal a lot about what's in here. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." How many of us have allowed our minds and thoughts to be shaped by words other than this right here? Huh? How many of us have done that? How many of us have allowed ourselves to read newspapers and articles and watch the news and watch this and allow all that to shape our words and our opinions? Can I tell you, this preacher's been guilty somewhat. I have sometimes. I have. I'm just going to be honest with you. And it's wrong. And it's wrong. Words shape our lives whether we want to admit it or not. But they shape our lives and they shape the lives of those around us as well. Jesus is plainly telling us in Matthew 4:4 when he said that, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Parents, the words you're telling your kids right now will shape their lives into their futures. You know this? I love statistics. The human brain is developed within the first 3 years 80%. The first 3 years, let that sink in a little bit. That little child's growing, that human brain is 80% formed within the first 3 years. Man, by 7 or 8 years of age, the child perception of the world will be difficult to change. By 7 or 8 years of age. You say, well, how's that be? Because if they're in a household where there's violence, if they're in a household where there's constant arguing, if they're in a household that's this and that and tear it up and stuff, by the time they're 7 or 8 years of age, that will be hard to change, as this one guy said, without a whole lot of money and a whole lot of time. Let that sink in for a little bit. I've said this here before. Christians, these kids need to be in church from the time that you can carry them there at least till they're 10 years old or better. We have that years to mold them, to shape them. There comes a time from an article. This comes from an article, and if anybody wants to read it, it's called Children Reflect Parental Behavior. If you want to look it up. Words have power. Absolutely. We either are lifting up or tearing down by the words you and I speak. How many people among you, how many of you young people have been torn down because something that was said to them? I've seen that. I've seen that in young people's lives. Something that was said to them, mean and hateful, and they were tore down. The parents do that sometimes. You know, you're lazy, you're fat, you're never going to amount to anything. You're just like your dad. You're just like your mom. Those words right there hurt. These kids, whenever kids hear this long enough, they believe it. And people do not realize the horrible violence and the damage they impose upon children whenever they do that. We can shape a better life for kids through Jesus Christ. We can shape a better life no matter what's going on if we get them now through God Almighty. Some of our biggest regrets are centered around words, am I right? Some of the biggest regrets in my life are centered around things that I should have said or didn't say, or I did say. Memorable events in our life are centered around words. Will you marry me? Right? I'm sure you've heard those words. Will you marry me? Those are memorable words. Or just simply saying, I love you. Or just simply saying, I love you. Or maybe you've heard it, a boy or girl, or how about the first time you've heard them say, Mom and Dad. You remember the first time your kids kind of said Mom and Dad to you? I remember it. Do you remember where they say Grandma and Papa to you? I just experienced that the other night. It's awesome. Words are powerful, used in the right way. Those are incredible words, incredible moments. Words, James 3:2. And I like this. I'm going to come down through James. If you want to turn there a little bit, I'm going to come back down through all of James right there right now. This is incredible words about speaking and about our words. Some of this is going to be NIV version, so just bear with me. I just did this because I want to get across what the point I was trying to get through. James 3:2 says this, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Now, I want you to get that. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Now, listen to this. What James, he's the half-brother of Jesus, is saying here is, perfection is obtainable if you're able to keep your mouth in check.
I am going to ask people to raise hands.
If you're able to keep your mouth in check. You know what perfection means here, though? It's not like we look at perfection. Perfection means to be complete. When you learn to bridle your tongue, it means that you can reach a level of spirituality, spiritual maturity, when it comes to the words coming out of your mouth. Can I be the first to say, I haven't reached that yet. I haven't reached that yet, but I'm going to work on it. Yes, the Holy Ghost is the filter that's in place. It's got everything that comes up through should be filtered through the Holy Ghost. If we will be the most difficult part of our Christian walk, will be this challenge. Why? Because it's inside, and it's that human nature that wants to try to get out all the time. Man, I won't give him peace of my mind. It's too bad I don't have much mind left. If I give him too much of it. You see what I'm saying? It's that human nature wanting to come out and rear its ugly head. In Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. James 3:3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. I know Julie and Tim and them had horses before. I know maybe most of you in here, I don't know who else in here has had horses, but you know you can take that little bit and you can put it in the mouth of that 1,000-pound animal, however much it weighs, and you can turn that thing whatever way it is. Do you know what James is telling us? That if we control this, we can control the rest of this. That's what he's saying. If we learn to control this, We can control the rest of this. It's how important controlling the mouth is. That's how important it is with our words. Get the picture. James is saying if you can control the mouth, you control everything else about you. Then James follows that up. Maybe you don't like horses. James follows this up with ships. Verse 4. Or take ships for as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, whatever the pilot wants it to go. Who's your pilot this morning? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus Christ should be guiding. The Holy Spirit should be guiding your ship. Whatever way the pilot wants it to go, if you get control of this, man, isn't that not awesome? Isn't that not awesome? Thank you, Lord. James 3, 5, it said 3, 5, and 6. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Of course, we don't have to imagine that. We can see what's going on out in California. We're burning up thousands and thousands of acres, burning up towns and cities out there. Because sparks. They say that one ember, can go from a fire and travel a mile and start another fire, is what they say. I'm not no expert on it, just what I read. One small spark can destroy a great forest. One thing coming out of here can destroy a lot of lives. Amen. That's what he's saying. Sometimes we may consider what we're saying insignificant. There are times you may think, well, I don't know that I said anything wrong, but yet it's got a whole bunch of people upset. Why? Because we didn't feel it through the way we should have filled it through. The spark that comes out. It seems like it can hurt a whole lot of people. James is telling us today, we need to get control of our mouths. Get control of them, and then we can control the rest of this. James goes on to say, we are walking around with a loaded weapon. That's what he said. What he's trying to tell us is we are walking around right here with a loaded weapon. And guess what? We're not reading the instruction manual for it. Just consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. Imagine what one match can do. I want to talk to young people here a little bit because I know, and old people too, and older people as well, but especially to the young right now. When you're on social media and you think before you send the send button on whatever it is, remember this, it's out there forever. In most cases, it is out there forever. 20 or 30 or 40 years from now, somebody may be dragging that up and saying, look at what you were. And you could be a totally changed person by that time. But I'm here to tell you, your words matter. Your words matter. I seen the other day where people putting on Facebook that they hope the president died. Yes. They hope he died. He's sick. I hope he dies. Now imagine that. I want you to imagine someone saying that about you. Imagine that. I don't care what you think about somebody else, Christians. I don't care what you think about them. That vow, that vitriol should not come from a Christian's heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? Should not. We don't. We have a filter. Words matter. People should matter to us. Even those that are lost. Especially those that are lost. You know what worries me the most at night when I lay down to sleep? It's not the ones that I know that are saved, Greg. It's those that I know in my family and around me that aren't saved. When I lay down to sleep, that's what bothers me. That's what I think about during the day. That's what bothers me most. And I've learned my words matter to them as well. Whenever we're around them, we need to speak Jesus. Whenever we're around them, we need to speak the word of God as much as we can. And let them know that there is a day of judgment coming. And that's not to, put them down or to, but it is something that they should be fearful of. What to say, it's a fearful thing to stand before a righteous God. It's a fearful thing. Our words do matter this morning. Belinda, come and get a song here this morning. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And get this, and is itself set on fire by what? By hell. When we let these things get out of control, who's controlling us? Who's controlling you and me when we do that? Give a song. If anybody has a need this morning, please come.